Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast. Interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 104. Maria Felix Miller, you are running for re-election as public school board trustee in Ward 3. Welcome to the 155 Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to describe what I've learned so far in the role and describe some of my goals for the next term, hopefully. And I'm just really happy to be here and really happy to be seeking the re-election for public school board trustee for Ward 3 in the HWDSB.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Maria Felix Miller. I am a resident of Ward 3. Trustee is actually my main position. I don't have another full-time job except being at home with my three children who are students in the HWDSB. I'm a huge advocate of community engagement and community participation. I'm a strong believer that local schools, the health of local schools, is integral to the health of the local community. Ward 3 is a fantastic ward. It's very large, very dense, very dynamic, and I'm so pleased to represent it every single day. There's a lot of really great things happening in our Ward 3 schools.
Why are you running?
I am the current HWDSB trustee for Ward 3. I've very much enjoyed being out in the community. When I first ran last election cycle, being visible and participating in my local community was one of my number one priorities, and I believe that I've maintained that. I've made it a priority to engage in a variety of different neighborhood community events. I've made my social media platforms available to people. I make it a priority to respond to emails and phone calls from my constituents within a day, if not the very same day. And I've made prompt response to any concern a priority for residents. But I will say, I'll actually also share that I was pleasantly surprised at how much I've enjoyed being part of the board, but also doing the committee work. In addition to our regular mandated board meetings, I currently sit on governance, human resources, program. I chair the policy committee. I also sit as a trustee representative on the Human Rights and Equity Committee, and I'm also the student trustee mentor at the table, which has been an incredible opportunity that I couldn't have foreseen before I was actually in the role, but it has been just lovely to support our student trustees and our Sagawanagarladats, which is our Indigenous trustee position, to support them in their leadership, in their work, support the students in connecting their advocacy at their school level, and bringing those concerns forward to the board table in a way that is progressive and, you know, they feel like they've really contributed in a real way.
How have you contributed to your school community and education in Hamilton?
Personally, I'm a huge believer in making sure that my votes, the way that I vote at the board table, is reflective of who I am as a leader in my community. So as I mentioned earlier, I participate very regularly in community events. I regularly participate twice a year in the Beautiful Alleys cleanup, which now actually has cleanups all over the city. So many different Ward 3 neighborhoods like St. Clair, Stinson, the Gala neighborhood, the Stipley neighborhood. I usually do the Fullerton Alley right behind the Barton Street Library, the first one that I ever cleaned, and I tend to go back to that one and clean it with Brenda Duke, who is a pillar in the Ward 3 community. So that's just one example. I also make it a priority to, as I mentioned before, to make sure that I'm available to residents. I'm public. I have a public Twitter. I have a public Instagram. I regularly post updates that are Ward 3 or board specific. I also believe that my voting record has been one of accountability and transparency. I think that as a board, we should err to be accountable always to our constituents, to the health of the organization. I've voted sometimes, you know, on hard things, such as extending the mask mandate once the provincial mandate had expired. And I did that because I felt that we had a very significant responsibility to ensure the health of our staff, the health of our students and their families. In a variety of ways, I believe that I'm an outspoken part of our board. I'm not afraid to take public stances on the issues that I consider very important to the HWDSB and to the Hamilton City at large as well.
It can be argued that school board trustees merely exist to provide someone for local parents to blame for provincial decisions. The autonomy of local school boards is limited. What do you see as the role of the modern school board trustee?
I do think that the role of trustee in the current climate is one that has a very interesting duality. In a lot of ways, we are the public liaison. So we are the liaison between the HWDSB and our residents. We're elected by our residents. We're there to hear the concerns. We're there to make sure that all students and all staff are feeling seen and supported at our schools in the way that they need. So that's very important. But then we have another added layer of complexity, which is that we're stewards of our board. We have to make sure that we are passing a balanced budget. We have to ask special permission to pass a deficit. We have to maintain and uphold the Education Act. We have to set priorities, top priorities for us, for our work. And I always say that we set policy. So we set the direction for our staff. We hire our director and we in charge that person with the responsibility to make sure that our policies are being felt through the board in the way that we're intending them and in the way that we are hoping that they land. So we have to take care of the local schools and our local residents who are using us in order to bring forward their concerns. But we also have to look at the overall health of the board. With that responsibility, we have to make sure that the HWDSB is a viable organization. I'm very supportive of it being a living wage organization. I'm supportive of what our local schools mean to their local communities. I see it also as an opportunity to build community relationships with a variety of agencies and really make it a dynamic organization in the local city.
What are your priorities for improving public education in Hamilton?
My priorities for improving public education over the next 4 years, I think the reality is we're going to have to contend as a board with a continued need for safety due to COVID. I know that one, you know, many people feel very exhausted by that, but I think that's the reality. We, as an employer, we have 50,000 students, we have a lot of staff, and we have a responsibility to ensure safety for all of the people in our schools and in our organization. I also would like to prioritize community value through our decision making. So that is, for example, something like looking at when we have surplus buildings, surplus land, what are we setting as a direction for our board in the sale of those items or in the procurement process with various vendors? Are all of our decisions in those instances being guided by the prioritizing community value, prioritizing living wages, prioritizing safety for our staff, prioritizing employment opportunities for Hamiltonians, and prioritizing investment back into our school renewals and our new capital projects where needed? I also personally want to continue to focus on reviewing programming. Specifically, we have a few specialized programs. We've begun the work at the board, but I would like to continue the conversation around equitable access and their mandate delivery of those programs. So currently, we have a very small percentage of families who participate in specialized programs. A large percentage of our families don't know about these programs or don't know how they can access it. Often transportation is a barrier or parent involvement is a barrier. So I would like to continue to work with staff to make sure that we're mitigating those obstacles, we're decreasing them where we can, and we're making sure that all of our families have the opportunity to seek out enrichment and to have those benefits accessible to them.
What three skills have you demonstrated that make you the best choice to be entrusted as the Ward 3 School Board Trustee?
I believe that I'm the best candidate in a lot of ways because I'm already doing the job. I'm dedicated, and I'm dedicated to this job here and now. I think that I have had the luxury of voting for transparency and accountability because I'm not worried about some political career out in the future. I'm very much dedicated to the HWDSB right now. I'm first and foremost a parent in our community and a participant in our community. I'm engaged with my local community. I make sure that I prioritize visiting a variety of my schools throughout the year. And I've made myself a person who I like to believe is open for contact, is open for feedback. I've had many instances where people have approached me privately to address maybe some concerns because they've seen me online and they've seen me out in the community, and they have told me very clearly that they feel that I am a trustworthy trustee who's been able to raise those concerns at the board table and also to bring those concerns to the appropriate staff so that we could really address what's going on, if it's a school-based issue or if it's a community issue that happens to have a school component to it. I think my track record in terms of my voting has been one of accountability and transparency, and one that has been ethical. And I don't use that word lightly. I think that, unfortunately, in municipal politics, there's a feeling that if you've been elected, that you have the mandate from the people, and that come what may, you know, a resignation isn't in the cards, or that sort of, you know, you're doing your best because you're a public figure and that's that. But I think I hold the responsibility around being a public servant very seriously, and my behavior and my voting and my statements in public and in private have been one to mirror that. I think that public servants should be very careful about what they say and what they do. And to me, it's always come back to uplifting the need for a strong public education system, one that is open for communication, one that is open for reflection, and one that is being responsible and responsive to the communities that it serves.
What two policy or practice changes do you wish to achieve in your 4-year term on the board?
My first priority is kind of twofold. So one, as I mentioned earlier, access to programming. I would like to see a deeper and more equitable access across the board to specialized programming, but also to the strength of the local schools in their communities. And alongside that, I want to continue to build deeper relationships for community agencies in our schools. We know that many of the families in our board have shared with us concerns around safety, concerns around violence, concerns around the experiences their children are facing, where if it's bullying or discrimination or inequitable access to whatever the case may be. So I think we have a responsibility as the largest school board in this city to make sure that we're building strong relationships with the agencies who are already doing the work. I often cite the example, I sit on the board for, or the management committee as they term it, for SASHA, which is the Sexual Assault Center of Hamilton and area. And through that work, I see that, you know, an agency like that is actually better versed to conduct public education on sexting, let's say, for our students, or the risks of online behavior and online grooming, for example. So I give that just as an example to say that there are lots of fantastic agencies in our city. Empowerment Squared is another one that does fantastic work with our newcomer populations. And I really want to continue to build on that to strengthen those relationships and also to facilitate and to make sure that it's as easy as possible for those agencies to do the work that they're already professionals in, and that the HWDSB and our students can really benefit from. So that was sort of a two-part one point. And then to my second point, I think the reality is, if I'm being totally honest, is that we have ongoing work to do around our human rights. As chair of the policy committee, I'm very proud that we are developing the human rights policy as one of our pillar policies. But the reality is that we know that many of our students from historically marginalized groups don't feel the same in our schools as other students do, particularly our Two-Spirit LGBTQAI plus students, as well as our students from Indigenous backgrounds and our Black and racialized students. So I think I will be continuing my advocacy for that and also just looking to dig deeper to really make sure that our policies and our directions are landing in a way that is making significant change at the school level.
It's 2026. The public record is writing an assessment of your performance in the past 4 years. What three words do you hope we will use to describe your term on the board?
I think the three words that I hope would describe my term on the HWDSB board is dedicated, thoughtful, and accountable.
As a school board trustee, your duty is to ensure the best quality of education for students across the entire school system. How will you manage a staff recommendation to close a school in your ward that the board's professional staff states will enable a better quality of education across the system?
This is a complicated question. I think as the ward trustee, communication would be my top priority. The reality is I'm not in favor of closing schools. I don't love the model of busing students out of their local communities to go to a very large, big school. Unfortunately, however, direction and decisions at the provincial, ministerial level sometimes dictates that movement. So communication with the local communities would be a top priority for me. And I think that now that I've had some experience on the board, I haven't had any school closures in my area during the last 4 years. However, I will say that I have seen the consequences of poor planning with school buildings. So to give an example, Bernie Custis Secondary School, which is the secondary school in Ward 3, which I believe is such a fantastic school. It really has the potential to be such a gem in the Lower City in terms of being a local hub, in terms of being the heart of the secondary school in the Lower City. That is a school that is currently still dealing with the ramifications of short-sighted planning by previous boards and by previous provincial decisions. And I know I've spoken to our chair, particularly around the access to green space at the school, some of the way that the building was designed internally, so storage for staff, different areas that were intentionally meant to be multi-use but maybe aren't always used to the fullest capabilities. You know, I've brought those concerns numerous times. I've had many, many multiple hours of meetings with the counselor's office around increasing access to the green space for that school community. And, you know, the chair has shared with me, because they have the historical knowledge, that originally that school was supposed to be very robust in terms of amenities. And as the funding came in, a lot of the design elements got dwindled down. So I think that now that I have that sort of knowledge, I think looking at any new school rebuild, I would like to really see very careful thought and planning from any board decision if ultimately that's what the community was facing. So communication and just really making sure that if there's no other option but a school closure, how are we as trustees ensuring that the new build is going to actually serve the community and is going to have the longevity for population change, but also capacity and for programming and athletics and the arts, and really making sure that those facilities reflect what we would want out of a school building?
How will you inspire public confidence in trustees and the school board?
I personally think, as I've alluded to before, that I think boards of all types, but especially school boards, have a responsibility to be transparent and accountable. It can be very difficult, the accountability piece in particular, because it can be hard to sit in the discomfort of decisions that were mistakes. But that doesn't mean that we get to shy away from the consequences of that. I think we owe it to all of our communities. I think we owe it to our students and our staff to always make our decisions based on accountability and transparency. And that always means, you know, communication, a recognition if there was a mistake, if there was something that maybe we thought was going to work out a certain way and it hasn't quite materialized. I think individually, I think that I have a track record of voting always for respect for our role as public servants, respect for the communities who are trusting us to deliver the highest quality of public education that we can, but also just listening to the feedback from your constituents and from your staff is really important. Sometimes we as trustees, because we are sort of living from one report to another, we have the best intentions around some decision making. And when it trickles down to the school level, it might or may or may not land the way that we intended them. So I think that reflection is a huge part of our role, being open to criticism, being open to checking in, and making sure that staff feel that they can also be open to criticism and checking in too. That as much as these things feel, and they are very serious, I think the reality is that if we maintain our humanity at the board table, the need for open dialogue will always supersede, to me personally, whatever I think the public perception may or may not be. I think if we vote with our conscience, if we vote with student achievement and student safety at the forefront of our decision making, I think accountability should follow very naturally. I think it's when we start to focus too much on maybe protecting, you know, risk of litigation or our perceived legal risks, that we start to get bogged down with that worry, and we really forget that our mandate is to making sure that student achievement, student safety, the well-being of our staff, that those things should be guiding our decision.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. How can people learn more about your platform and connect with you?
I am on both Twitter and Instagram. My handles for both are at M Felix, so M as in mother, FELIX.Miller, MILLER. I'm very open on both of those. And then as the next couple of weeks get going, I will be putting together my website, and the links there will be available there.
Thank you. This has been episode 104 of the Public Records, the 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of The Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the Press Club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.